Lord's house this morning. And
it's Monday, so you're either probably real high or real low. Somebody say amen right there. Either way, you're in the right place. Going to get a witness right there. And so I'm thankful to be here today and looking forward to a good time in the Lord. And I love that good singing this morning, didn't you? Wasn't that great? This is great. And I love that song they sing. And if all you do is celebrate the birth of Christ and the resurrection at Easter and Christmas, buddy, you're missing it. I mean, you are just missing what the Lord has for us. And so I'm trying to get this thing hooked in without choking myself. So if you see me going down, somebody pick up the microphone and go ahead with it, amen. So we'll get there in just a minute, all right? Most of my time will be getting this thing set up. But anyway, always a joy to be with the AG family. I didn't know they were going to be here, and so that's a joy. I love to hear them sing. I don't just love to hear them sing. I really love to watch them sing. Not that they're showy. That's not what I mean by that. I just love to watch people do something for God that look like they're enjoying it. And all you preachers know this. If you preach out much at all, you enjoy when you get to see somebody sing that looks like they're enjoying what they're doing for God. I've always said this. If you don't look like you're enjoying it, probably nobody else going to enjoy it. If it's killing you, it's probably killing the person you're listening to. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Just a joy to be here. Galatians chapter number 6 this morning will be our text. And the Lord just really worked this in my heart, really for today, several weeks ago. And it just kept me in the text. And so I pray to be a help to you today. Thank you, church, for hosting the meeting and for having the meeting, the revival, Preacher's Jubilee, Bible Conference, Camp Meeting, whatever you want to label it, we just come to get some help. Amen. Come to get some help. And if he don't help us, there won't be no help given. All right. All right. Let's look at the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Get to see Brother Turner. He and I were joking before service. I've been in the area about, I guess, a little over 3 years. And he's kind of like my second pastor because I hear him preach more than I do about anybody from the radio broadcast. And so, matter of fact, if you don't like what I'm preaching today, I heard it from him. So we'll just, and you kind of can't go wrong there. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right, Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, I don't want to get ahead, but we know that when he is writing this, he's writing to the believer. He's writing to the church about what we're to do. And he said, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In the same context, he goes into saying this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Then he said, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. We are to do good, all men. But then he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I want to pray with you, and if you'll just bear with me, I want to try to cover some ground in an introduction and just a quick thought. But if you will, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, thank you for the privilege it is, Lord, to be in your house tonight and or this morning. And God, for your help already. God, how you have used the words, the testimonies, and the music, God, to turn our attention to you. What a need that is. Now, Lord, will you help us today? We're needy people today. And Lord, I don't know what all we'll face the rest of this week and God, how the rest of the year close out, but I do know that you let me be in church today. And God, you let us gather in, and Lord, you have a desire to help us. Lord, please, please help us to get to a place where we'll listen to your sweet spirit. God, I want to leave today encouraged and helped and convicted and challenged. Lord, will you do that? And then, Lord, touch every man. Bless every message. May you get all the glory for us in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. This is a very familiar text and a very familiar chapter. As I read through these verses, chapter 6, verse 1 through 10, I believe we could agree, and most of the time it's in our heading, that the scripture is going to deal with the ministry of restoration. He's going to deal with the benefits of the church and really give us a how-to process of what we're to do and how we're to be involved in restoring. Now the question is, how do we treat and restore those that have a fault? How are we to act toward them? What is our attitude toward them? And then also following that up is, what can I do to help restore somebody that has a fault? I thought about this. Too often we give up on people, and doing so means that we've forgotten the high price that Jesus paid for them on Calvary. It's real easy to do that. Matter of fact, I was just meditating on this morning, and really giving up on people is the natural thing. Somebody help me now. Brother Turney, it seems like it's just so easy when I see somebody heading in the wrong direction or they've got a fault in their life, as the scripture says. It seemingly is a natural thing. It is an easy thing, but according to our text, it's not the spiritual thing. So if something is easy and natural, but it's not spiritual, then somehow I need the Lord to help turn me that I can get involved with the heart of the church and the heart of Christ and see those that have a fault be restored back in the fellowship. When I think about this ministry of restoration, either church member, and probably today I believe I'm preaching to the cream of the crop that would do this, we are either rescuing, helping Christ rescue those, we are either reaching those, or we find ourselves restoring those that have a fault in their life. And by the way, what a joy it is to be a part of God's family. Amen. And what a privilege it is that God would let us be saved and be a part of the greatest work on planet Earth. I may not be involved in what's going on in the White House. It'd be fun if I could today. Say amen right there. We may not be involved in the State House or any billion-dollar businesses, but thank God that God saved us from a road that we were headed to hell, pulled us out of the mess that we were in, planted us in the family of God, and now we don't have to do this. We get to serve Jesus. Man of God, we don't have to preach. We get to preach. Church member, we didn't have to come to church today. We get to come to church. And so God, help me have the right mentality toward the ministry that God has given us to do. Just walk with me. I am going somewhere. In verse number 1, I find him addressing two people. First of all, he addresses brethren. Now remember what I said a while ago. He is not talking about what the world pounces on the injured, right? And the world will feast on the weak. But when he comes to us, he addresses us, that wonderful word that means the same birth, brethren. Ain't it good that God let us gather today with brethren? Meaning that I've had the same birth, so God has an expectation that I'm going to respond differently to the people that are hurting. The world might turn them away, and there's some Pharisees that might jump on them, but God's looking for some brethren that'll get involved with seeing them come to God. The next thing I notice is that phrase, ye which are spiritual. Now we have some pastors in the building, and you're going to know what I'm talking about when I say this, that everybody who's saved is not qualified to help restore those who have a fault in their life. Now I know nobody in Packlet knows how to gossip. Somebody say amen. I know it cut off at the line, at Spartanburg, Greenville County line.
But what I'm saying is this, is that there are some that are so consumed with judgment and that everybody is not going to be involved. But he said that, he said a mark of a spiritual person is reminding that Christ has paid the same price for them as he did for you. And I want to say this, thank God that I'm in church this morning. I want to be right with God. I want my heart to be right. But I know me, I know my flesh, and thank God for people who are spiritual that reach down and help somebody who just might be struggling. I thought about this. When you, which are spiritual, it shows the nature of the Spirit of God. The word spiritual means those who are full and walking in the Spirit. It means those who are producing the very fruit of the Spirit. It means I am far from what I used to be, but thank God He is molding me to make me more like Him. Thank God we're not trying to make young people more like Brother Aldridge. We're not trying to make a bunch of many Brother Robert Jarvis's. But if we can just point somebody to Jesus, I can't help them, but He can. I can't change them, but He can. I can't encourage them, but He can. And if I can just get them to Him, He has what they need. Amen. And then I thought about this. He addresses the offender. Look what he said. He's not overlooking. He said they have a brethren overtaken in a fault. When he deals with that word fault, that means an offense, a trespass. It means a lapse of intention. It means that when you look at their life, it's not just private, but now there is a fault that has been opened and they have a need and they cannot go forward until they get some help and they get right with God. What I find interesting about this is when he mentions the fault, he reminds us that they are our brother. Secondly, he says, I want you to help them. But thirdly, I want you to help them when they won't help. You know this, you ain't going to help nobody till they want some help. There was a day in your life when you had to learn how to tie your shoes. Now, this is about the only pair I got. Rest of them slip-ons. Can I get a witness right there? The older you get, the more you like them slip-on shoes. Can I get a witness? But there was a time that you tried and you got frustrated and you couldn't do it. And mama tries to help you. Daddy tries to help you. And so somewhere you found yourself saying, no, let me do it. I can do it. I can do it. And you kept making a mess until you let somebody help you. You know this. You're not going to help nobody that does not want help. Amen. You know, there were people that left our churches yesterday, and they may have come in empty, and they left full because they want. Can I say this? Thank God. When you come to God's house, if you want some help, you're going to get some help. You say, man, that preacher wasn't hitting on much. No, wasn't that preacher. You must not been listening on much. Amen. Well, the choir was a little bit flat, and we go down to the slip. But if you want some help from God, when you walk in them doors, you come to Him as a beggar. You come to God as a pauper and realize you don't deserve to be there, but you get to go to church. That's the kind of person God can help. That's the kind of person God can restore. That's the kind of person God can lift when I give it all to Him and realize I need help from God Almighty. Then he addresses the church again. I'm going somewhere. I'm hurt. He uses the phrase again in verse 1, considering. He said, now, I'm not talking about those that fail. I want you as a church, as a believer, to consider some things. Now, what do I consider? Well, the word consider means to look at, to gaze upon. I am to consider my frailty. My frailty is this. I have no power. Me, maybe not you, but in me, I have zero power. And I don't have the ability to get anything done that needs to be done. However, I don't have to do it. God does it through us. We are not a people that have learned, can I say it? But we are not a people that have learned how to do it. We haven't learned how to rise above some kind of reality of where we live. We haven't learned how to produce what we need to produce. We haven't learned how to have revival apart from the touch of God. And we realize that there is no power in me, but thank God there is power in Him. And the same power that resurrected Christ from the grave has the same power living inside of me. And the same power that got Christ out of the grave and the same power that changed my life has the same power living inside of me. I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to be downtrodden. I don't have to be empty. But God can do great things through us. Amen. Innocent through. I'm to consider my frailty. I'm to consider my flesh. It is a wonderful day in our life as a believer when you realize you are wrapped up with the most carnal person you know. Amen. Now, it is going to get better. Just stay with me just a minute. But it is a good day in the life of, wouldn't it be good? Here's what happens. When the day that you side with God, that I am not as good as I think I am. Amen. Maybe go to youth camp. And some of the best services we have in youth camp is when the guys realize I ain't it. And the girls realize I'm not God's yet. But when we realize that we are nothing without Him, and he said it a while ago, I know where I'd be were it not for the grace of God. I know the religious mess I was in. I know the carnal appetite I had. But oh, thank God for the day that Jesus came by and changed my life and changed my world and changed my desires. And oh, thank God for the change this morning. But the truth of it is, I am still wrapped up with the most wicked person that I know. Consider my flesh. Consider my failures. I have failed. I can fail. The Apostle Paul said this, Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me up from the body of this death? Therefore, my confidence doesn't lie in me. My confidence lies in Him." Brother Jarvis, our confidence lies in the one that has never, get a hold of that, never failed. Hallelujah. He ain't never made a mistake. He ain't never made a bad choice. He ain't never forgot nobody. He ain't never missed an appointment. He's never let a service down. Come on now. He's never failed a family. He's never failed your family. He's never failed my family. My confidence doesn't lie in me. My confidence doesn't lie in flesh. My confidence doesn't lie in man. But I'm telling you, beloved, my confidence lies in a holy God who has never failed. Amen. Never failed. Oh, hallelujah. No country can say their leader has never failed them. No organization can ever say they had a perfect leader. But thank God if you belong to another country, your leader's never failed you. Your king's never failed you. If you belong to the church, your Savior's never failed you. He's perfect, amen. The more I see His perfection, the more I see my imperfection. Right? Now let's move on quickly. Now let's look at the principle. The principle you'll find in verse 7 and verse number 8. Now these are familiar verses, are they not? In verse 7 and verse 8, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now consider that. We know that verse. And that verse, no doubt, can stand by itself. We know that. In the context, he is dealing with where people sow and where they reap. And now he turns that attention toward the church in the middle of a message on restoration. Look at verse number 8, if you will. In verse number 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Brother Turner, here's what he reminded us of. That he that sows the flesh, that he will reap where and what he sows, right? We know that. But in the context, he is still dealing with the restoration of those who have a fault. So he encourages the church. They may be sowing in their flesh, but I am encouraging the believer to sow in the Spirit of God. Now here's where all that leads to. What do you mean? Well, if I will sow in the spiritual, if I will invest in them, if I will not give up on them, then I can reap some great benefits that come from the work of God. Let me say it this way. There are some prodigals that never come home. Right? We don't glory in that. There's something wrong with somebody who glories in a prodigal that never comes back. Would you agree? But can I say this? There are some prodigals that come home. Amen. I don't know your backstory. You don't know mine. But I am telling you, thank God, that there are some prodigals who don't stay in the far country. There are some. They may come back with baggage. They come back with scars. But thank God, they are not a prodigal anymore. Let me give you this. Listen now. Some families stay together that you had it in your mind. There's no way that thing's going to work out. Amen. But help me here, Lord. But if the church gives up on their family, tell me who in the world's going to pull for their family. Help me right here, Lord. If the only preacher they know by name gives up on their family, who's going to pull for that family? Oh my, if the only youth group they know gives up. But can I say this? There are some times that through a thought, we feel like that home there is no hope, there's no chance. But thank God every home don't fall apart. Can I tell you this, church? Thank God there are some families that stay together. There's some cold and indifferent backsliders that come back to God. There are some that lose their worship, who get their worship back. But if they have no church to go to, if they have no preacher to preach to them, if they have no Sunday school class, if nobody has a burden, then where are they going to come back to? Can I just encourage you, church, even though we're in the midnight hour, keep on rescuing, keep on reaching, keep on restoring. There's just no telling what God will do. There were some people that sang in our choirs yesterday that maybe months or years ago, I'm talking about since they got saved, people thought, man, they ain't going to make it. Guess what? You ready? You ready? Come here now. There's probably somewhere in our life where somebody thought that about us. Brother Turner, I still have the first outline I preached, but I don't think I really want to listen to it. Come here now. I mean, here it is. And there were some people that looked at your life and you had struggles and you had problems and you had difficulties, you had a fall, but thank God people didn't give up on you and didn't treat you like you had the plague, but that preacher kept preaching and the prayer warrior kept praying and the teacher kept teaching and the church kept having church and God used those things to help restore those who were hurting. Here's the simple thought that I want to give just quickly. I want you to notice that Paul gives us some things that are going to get us from verse 1 down to verse number 9. I notice in verse 2 and 5, what are we to do? First of all, in verse 2 and verse 5, you find that phrase, we're to be busy bearing burdens. All right? Okay, that's not easy. That's not really, maybe... And you know this, there are to be a course in Bible college sometimes that just is what we would call, let me give you the school of the hard knocks, right? Where we let them know, and if you've been serving God, it's not just preachers and pastors, but you realize that every day isn't always an easy day, okay? Miss Jenny, as a pastor's wife, I believe you could say every day isn't always a you know, believe it or not. Now, she's always smiling and singing, but probably every day ain't that way. Somebody help me right here. All right, now he says, all right, you're going to have to be busy bearing burden. That means, you ready? Nobody has ever given up on somebody while they're praying for them. It ain't deep, I'm just telling you. It's hard to give up on the person you're praying for. Nobody's ever given up on somebody when they crawl in an altar somewhere. And they get around him and begin to beg God. We had a man in our church that, but anytime he moves, he's got faults, he's got failures, he comes and goes, he has high time. But anytime he gets in the altar, you're going to find a group of men just crawling around him and just begging God. By the way, I don't get nervous at all when folks get to doing that in the altar. Hey, man, that's right. Matter of fact, I feel right at home when folks do that stuff, don't you? Nobody's ever given up on somebody when they told them, hey, when you're struggling and when you're hurting, pick up the phone and call me. I'm going to be here for you. I love you. It might be a hard road back, but by the grace of God, we're going to walk it together, and we're going to weep together, and we're going to cry together, and we're going to have pain together. But thank God, one day I'm trusting God that we're going to worship together, and we're going to rejoice together, and we're going to serve together, because God restored them, because you helped bear their burdens. The word bear, I don't have time to deal with this, but the word bear deals literally and figuratively to carry, to take up, or to sustain. And preachers, could I just encourage you for just a moment? This is the fulfillment of the law of Christ, of being like Christ, showing charity, one of the greatest attributes of our Lord. And sometimes the load gets heavy, and we have no idea all the burdens that just these pastors that are with us are carrying, and they're thinking about their flock, and they're thinking about the church, and they see the one that's struggling, and they see the one that's hurting, and they're bearing burdens, bearing burdens. It would be too much for us if it weren't for the fact that we have a great burden bearer, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. I can't carry the burden, but He can. I can't carry the load, but He can. I can't carry the church, but He can. When the burdens get heavy, just go to Him. He is the great burden bearer. Then I find, you ready? Here, next thing, just simply, verse number 3, we're not to be deceived. There is a deception. What is the deception? In verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, our flesh doesn't like to hear that we are nothing. The word nothing means this. It means not even one, not whole. It means to be lacking or to be without. It means that what it is needed for, it is evident that He is not sufficient. Oh my. Anybody found out real quick you're not sufficient? But could I say it again? The more I see how insufficient I am, the more I find out just how sufficient He is. Amen. Woo, hallelujah, Lord. Brother Turner, how long you been in the ministry, preacher? How long you been preaching? 34 years. Brother Rochette, how long you been preaching? 29 years. Brother, how long you been preaching? 29. Brother Jarvis, how long you been preaching? 33. That's a pretty good bit of years right there, amen. Have you found out? You might not be enough yet, but praise God, you've also found out a whole lot more. Matter of fact, we ain't going to brag on how much we're not, but we will take a little while and tell you that we have found out in 29 and 29 and 30 plus, we have found out that He is our sufficiency, and that you can't be so low, He can't help you. And you, oh, I might be nothing, but oh, He is everything. Now watch it. Watch what He says. About, oh, it's a great thought about, a great lesson about nothing. When we see nothing as negative, but God sees nothing as a positive. What about that? See, God's math and our math doesn't always work together. In the scripture, an admittance to nothing is always an invitation for God to do something. Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew 15:32, the disciples had nothing to eat. And when they had nothing to eat, Jesus just went ahead and He fed the 5,000. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, watch it now. In Luke 5:5, the disciples had toiled all night long and had taken what? Nothing. And then Jesus showed up and He did something and He filled 2 ships. Can I just take time out and say thank God for a God that takes our little nothing and does a great something with it. Have you ever needed to serve Him? Have you tried to help people and looked at what you had as nothing? And God says, that's all right. You just give me your nothing. You just give me what you have and you let me work. Your nothing is enough for God to do something. Preacher Finney, I'm telling you, he got hooked in last Sunday. Brother Turner, here's what he said. He was preaching about those men that was carrying the other man, those 4 men bearing that load. Here's what he said. He just kind of hit it quick and kept going, and I just had church in my pew for a little bit. Brother A.G., here's what he said. Those men had got to a point that they realized, let's just get into Jesus and see what He'll do about it. How many times have our ropes been empty? How many times has our faith been weak? But there was just a little old mustard seed that helped you get that family to God, helped you get that message to Jesus. And oh, if I can just get it to Him, there's just no telling what He'll do. All right? John 2 and 3, Mary said to her son, said, Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus did something by turning water into wine. John 15, 4 and 5, Jesus told His disciples, abide in Me, for without Me ye can do nothing. Men, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that if you apart from Me, it ain't going to work. But you find those same men on the day of Pentecost, of those men that had been so low, of those men who had been so discouraged, of those men the Pharisees gave up on them, but thank God they got full of something called the Holy Ghost, and God got on a bunch of nothing, and God did something. You say, Preacher, I don't feel like I'm much. Well, you're probably on the right path to getting right where God can use you. Sometimes we pray as if we're trying to impress God with our accolades. Now, Lord, don't you remember when I did this? Don't you remember when I did this? And that's those prayers that's bouncing everywhere. Can I get a witness right there? But there's something about those prayers of through a broken heart and broken tears. God, I can't. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't help me, I probably ain't going to make it through the day. But oh, praise God. When you get, that's you just getting real good qualified for God to do something. He said, don't forget that. Don't deceive yourself. Number next, just quickly, just a couple things, I'll be done. I wrote this down. This ain't deep. I just want to be enough nothing for God to use me to do something. In verse 6, here's what he said. He said, okay, now we're talking about restoring. He said, I want you to communicate the word. Have we ever felt like we didn't have the sufficient words? Absolutely. I don't have the words. But can I tell you this? Thank God, I'm glad the Bible always has the right word. Psalm 119 verse, let me read you Psalm 119 verse 176. The psalmist closed this great psalm out, and here's what he said. He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He said, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. In Psalm 1, he said, I'm out. I've got a nature and I've got a flesh, and it'll stray like a dumb animal, like a sheep. It'll stray and it'll wander. He said, but oh, when I get there, just one more time, get that book out and preach that book to me. Up one more time, send me a verse. Up one more time, just tell me what the Word of God says. You don't have the vernacular. You can't really orate it just right. But oh, for a perfect word and a generation of unperfect people, the Word is still powerful, and the Word is still enough. Amen. Jesus, are you listening? Spoke the world into existence. Peter said, Lord, we're told all night, I just read the text, nevertheless, at thy what? At thy word we'll cast again. Could I say this? They ain't power in us. There's power in that book. Oh, hallelujah. It's amazing how it, oh, hallelujah. Let us just worship. Let me just worship just a minute. Can I do that? How many times have we gone trying to get a word for the people and we felt despair and feel like I know what this is going through and I know what they're going through. And you get in that word and all of a sudden that word revives you and that word strengthens you. And then thank God you're feeding from the word. And then you go to that pulpit and you say, well, I ain't got much to say, but I do got a word from God. And thank God that word from God. And next thing you know, a sinner walks the aisle. A backslider comes home because somebody had enough faith just to believe the word of God. All right, now watch this. Give me this, I'll be done. Then he tells us to engage or battle this weariness. Here's where it's at, I believe, for our congregation that's here today. Here's what he said. By the way, as you're sowing and reaping and you're waiting and you're laboring and you're getting tired and you're getting aggravated, he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Let us not be weary in well-doing. The weariness for believers is not a result of wrongdoing. It's the result of well-doing, right? One man said it this way, we cannot finish well if we do not do well. Or hear well done if we do not do well. And boy, how true that is. And so Paul, realizing these believers that are working and laboring, he said, listen, child of God, you keep doing right. It's not like the world getting sick of their sin. He said, but if you're not careful doing the same thing, involved in ministry, involved in the church, being involved in labor, and oh, how terrible that is when somebody goes to the world, but oh, it's just as detrimental when somebody takes their hand off the plow because it just got weary and well-doing. I feel like my work's not going forward. I feel like my message isn't getting out. I feel like those knotheads in that Sunday school class, they won't give me their attention. I feel like the choir won't sing out right. And if you're not careful, you can get weary in doing right. Matter of fact, I thought about this. The word weary, it means to be utterly spiritless, exhausted, weak, fail in heart, or to be faint. You can get weary with ministry. You can get weary with people. Now, I would guarantee you, probably not the most spiritual thing, but when I said get weary with people, probably somebody popped in your mind. Somebody help me right there. In our church, if you begin to ask stories about a young man by the name of Justin Shook, you begin to ask what kind of child he was and teenager he was, everybody has a story about him. I mean, everybody. All of them Jeff Ledbetter phrases. I mean, not Jeff Ledbetter, Jerry Clower phrases. You know, the meanest youngin' and all that meanness and the lioness and all that kind of stuff. I mean, all those kind of things. I mean, they wrecked cars, motorcycles. I mean, pulled pranks on and on down the line. But you know what? If you come to our service on Wednesday night and there's going to be leading the music, leading the choir and worshiping, it's going to be that same one that everybody got very weary with. Are you listening? Weary with people, weary with responsibility, weary bearing burdens. And can I say this? Anybody can get weary. I studied that word weary in the Bible. If you look at, don't turn there, but in the book of Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, it said the Antichrist was going to be busy trying to wear out the saints. And I know, thank God, the Antichrist ain't came yet because we ain't left yet. Somebody help me right there. But I am saying this, in the day we're in, the devil's working very hard to try to wear out God's people. This ain't deep. Can I give you a few things? When you get weary, I want you to remember God's power is still available for you when your power is gone. When you get weary, don't ever forget that prayers are being offered up for you. Say, wait a minute, Brother Alderson. You don't know who I am. You know what? You're right. I may not pray for you, and there might be times when your pastor may forget your name in that prayer time. But if nobody prays for you today, I have a great high priest who is making intercession. When you feel like everybody's against you, nobody loves you, it does not change the ministry of our high priest who is appearing in the heavens for who? For us. He's praying for me this morning. My goodness. Can I say this? When you get weary, the purpose of why God called you hadn't changed. When you get weary, people are depending on you. Brother Turner, I got ready to leave last night, and I was heading out around the corner, and there were some young people gathering. I'm walking by, I'm telling them bye, and I just said, don't forget about next Friday. And I heard, I don't know who said it, I'm not sure who said it, but I heard one of them say, Brother Aldridge, if you're going, I'm going. When I went to bed last night, I heard a voice in my head of a teenager that said, Brother Aldridge, if you're going, I'm going. When I got up this morning, one of the first things that hit my mind was a teenager's voice that said, if you're going, I'm going. When I was driving over here today, I heard a little voice, one of them teenage girls, I'm pretty sure it was. I could hear her voice. If you're going, I'm going. somebody is depending on me. Somebody's depending on you. And I know it may get heavy and it may get hard and our flesh will get weary. Our spirit will get weary. But thank God we've come too far to turn back now. Thank God, hallelujah. One of these glorious days, we'll lay the burden down. We'll lay the cross down. But until then, my heart will go on singing. But until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day that I see His face. The reason we got in has to be bigger than the reason we want to quit. God, I say this, when you get weary, pleasing Him is still possible. I think somebody said it right. It is a battle. Is that a good word? A battle. It's not a tap-tap. Nobody says a little tap. No, no. It's a battle with weariness. Let me show you this. I'm through. Verse 9, he said, let us not be weary in well-doing. And then I love it. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The word due season talks about it's kind of like, you know, you due season, you go to birthday parties, right? If you're having a birthday party, I'm not mad because once I cross 40, I don't really like calling the number out. Can I get a witness right there? I'm just saying. You know, my young people think 40, and they're asking me stuff like, you know, what was it like when man touched the moon? And obviously they can't do math either, bless their heart, but, you know. everybody has a birthday. But now I'm just going to say this. If it was somebody's birthday in here, it might not be my birthday. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to enjoy your cake. I'm going to enjoy your ice cream. And I'm going to enjoy whatever food. So, you know, but I enjoyed it. But it was your due season. Can I tell you something? When it comes my turn, you know, I want you to enjoy it. But praise God, I'm getting the due season. What God's telling us to do is get involved with this work of restoration while I'm working on their son and I'm working on this marriage over here and this family. You get involved in that. When they come in, you get to rejoice. But I want you to know something. I hadn't forgot about your due season either. Sometimes we think as we're giving out, well, I'm giving out, who's taking care of me? You know who's giving that? You know who's taking care of you? The Lord is. What was the charge that God gave Nehemiah and those men? He told Nehemiah, I said, fight for your brethren, fight for you. And he goes all down that list. And he said, oh, I just want to remind you, while you're fighting for everybody else, the Lord's fighting for you. I want to remind you this morning, while you're fighting for everybody else, the Lord's fighting for you too. Verse 10 again, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially in the household of faith. Too much to walk away from, our marriage, our ministering, but especially my master. I don't have a question. The question is not, have you ever gotten weary? We didn't gather around here today to talk about how the weariness and everybody gets there. But we have gathered in today for God to refresh our spirit. So that when I leave out of here, I can give my very best for the one who deserves my best. Let's bow. Preacher's going to come. Father, I sure do love you. Thank you for your kindness. And Lord, a good reminder about your faithfulness in our life and your ability. Help me, Lord, not to get so stuck on mine, worried about mine, but on yours. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for good liberty this morning. Help us now. We need help from you. Lord, our own help won't get it done. We need help from you today. Touch your men today. Touch your servants. Touch your laborers. Touch your musicians, your singers. God, help us to labor faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, preacher. My goodness, we're preaching.